Resorts World Catskills, where luxury and excitement are so close by. Catch all the sports action and so much more at Resorts World Catskills. Dial *RWCAT to learn more.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
The best thing about me filling in for this time slot is that I get to do a football frenzy, and that's going to come your way in about an hour at 10 a.m., so definitely stay tuned for that. Any and all questions pertaining to football, and what an exciting Week 17 that is upon us, I'll tell you that. Cynthia Freeland will join us in our second hour as well around 10:30, and then as Dave always does, Stomp Rothenberg, we do a different kind of version of that, and it's called Question Marks. Why? Well, Dave gets all his questions answered correctly. I'm lucky if I get one, so typically I need a lifeline for this segment. I'm going to see if Cynthia Freeland could stay on board and help me with a lifeline. If not, then I will need the services of some of our listeners out there. So that's going to come your way around 10:45 or 11 o'clock. And then the Bear, you see him all over college game day, getting you ready for today's games. And there are several. In fact, I'm only on until 11:30. Following me, Notre Dame and Iowa State comes your way right here on 98.7 ESPN. And, of course, later on today, 4 o'clock, 8 o'clock, the two big games, LSU and Oklahoma, Clemson and The Ohio State University. Can't wait to watch those two games, as the winners of those games will then compete for the national championship. And again, you can listen to those right here on 98.7 ESPN. And I'm with you until 11:30 this morning. All right. We're going to open up the phone lines, 800-919-3776. They're actually open for the entire show. Was going to, here's the thing, two things, two storylines, one with the Jets and one with the Giants. By the way, Ty and Nikki are working the show. They're producing the show on the opposite side of the glass. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Hopefully you guys had a fantastic Christmas, Hanukkah holiday and getting ready for a fantastic celebration taking us into another decade of 2020. How are you guys doing?
Feeling good today. My Christmas was ruined by the Lakers.
Ruined?
By the Lakers.
Why?
Losing to the Clippers.
Okay, well, what did we say going into the season? Both LeBron James and AD have to stay healthy in order for the Lakers to win basketball games.
Now it looks like LeBron might be hurt again.
Exactly. So, but we knew this going in, right? They spent all their money on those two cats. Their supporting cast is very lackluster. They're not going to win unless those two dudes are healthy. Which, by the way, I know we didn't plan to start the show on an NBA note, but here's the thing, Ty. LeBron is priding himself on not taking any nights off. Detrimental, considering that the bigger picture here is to win a championship?
Well, he's being compared to Kawhi Leonard, so I can understand why, you know, he wants to make it a point. He's going to play every game he's healthy. But to your point, he turns 35 on Monday. You know, he's in year 17, so it wouldn't make sense for him to, you know, give himself some time off.
Exactly.
But the Lakers are in a situation where they need that number one seed. So you can't really take games off, considering they're not the same team, obviously, when LeBron doesn't play. So
right.
It's a tough situation to be in.
It's, I would call it a conundrum.
It is.
Any time I have an opportunity to use that word, I do. I love it. It's one of my favorite words in
and
the
another,
dictionary.
Another reason why we can't have him taking games off is because you enjoy watching him so much, it's going to ruin your visual, you know, NBA
well,
experience.
Well, I like watching him lose. I like watching him lose. I like watching him squirm.
That's not very nice.
Ty, how long have we worked together?
3 years.
Like, you don't know that about me by now?
I would consider him to be more of your favorite player than Patrick Mahomes is.
Jeez. By the way, did you see my Patrick Mahomes Christmas socks that I got?
I did see that.
Did you see them?
Very, very impressive.
I'm not wearing them today, but I'll tell you what, I'll probably wear them tonight when I'm home, hanging out with the dogs, drinking a bottle of wine, watching the college championship playoff games.
That sounds like a plan.
Yeah, in my Patrick Mahomes socks. Sexy. Sexy, I tell you. Nikki, sexy in my Patrick Mahomes socks. Yeah. By the way, really quick, did you read before, because again, I do want to talk NFL here. Did you read the New York Times article? I have it right here and I have certain things highlighted. The title is Why Steph Curry, Not LeBron, is the NBA Player of the Decade. Did you read this, Ty?
I saw quotes from that article.
Oh, okay. Because I printed it up for you.
They're wrong, by the way, but sure.
I'd be happy to, in the break, I'll bring it in so you could really, really take it.
We should do that during a break.
Anyway, so I came in, I wanted to talk about LeBell, but the New York Post and Ty presented. I was, well, first things first. This is my third show in 48 hours. Needless to say, I'm a little exhausted. I left here. We have a gambling show that I host on Friday nights. I left here at like 12:30 in the morning and then made my way back here at 8 a.m. So I did not have time to look at the New York Post late last night or this morning. So Ty, thank you so much for bringing this to my attention. But apparently the New York Post, two sources familiar with the Giants, told the Post that Steve Tisch has seen enough and wants a fresh start with a new GM and a new head coach, while John Mara wants to wait until the outcome of Sunday's games in the season finale against the Eagles at MetLife Stadium before making a decision. Okay, we are going to dive into that for sure. And for the Jets, it's all about Lev Bell. Lev Bell on Friday received a nice little note on his locker from the NFL requesting an HGH blood test. On Instagram, he took the photograph, he posted it, and his response was, "I bet I don't." This is the sixth time that Lev Bell has been tested for HGH. It's the most that a player can be tested. And they're supposed to be random, by the way. They're supposed to, like, pick names out of a hat. If he did refuse it, he would be suspended by now. He's not confirmed with the media that he did take the test. But considering that there is no suspension that has been handed down from the NFL, one would assume that he did take it. And I do want to discuss Lev Bell's contract and what the Jets could possibly do or not do heading into the 2020 season. So I do want to those are going to be the two hot topics we're going to get into in this first hour. But let's start first and foremost with the story in the Post and the two sources familiar with the Giants saying that Steve Tisch has seen enough. Here's the thing. Steve Tisch and John Mara, polar opposites of one another. Okay, in this day and age of team ownership, John Mara comes from a very well-respected, you know, the Wellington Mara, very historic family ownership into the NFL. Old school, right? Old school NFL, where there's no knee-jerk reaction. General managers go there to die. Why? Because they know that once they're hired, they're never going to get fired, right? Like, you're committed. You're committed to your people. You know, general managers there have nine lives. They're like cats. You know, you operate with a football mentality that is very old school when it comes to the Mara family heritage. For Steve Tisch is Hollywood. He's out there on the West Coast. He's producing movies. When the Giants won the Super Bowl in Indianapolis against the Patriots, so for folks who might not know, I worked for the Giants. I was part of their broadcast team. So I went to the post-win party. Katy Perry was there. She was in the VIP room hanging out with Steve Tisch. It's different. Knee-jerk reaction. Style points. Tisch didn't want to let Odell Beckham Jr. go. He had to be convinced by Pat Shurmur, the organization, to trade Odell. Tisch didn't want to trade Odell. So and I share these stories with you just to say that these are two polar opposite human beings. These are two polar opposite ways of thinking, ways of running corporations. Tisch. Hip, young, fresh, new, with it, millennial. Not that he's a millennial, but kind of gets that millennial mentality. The Mara family, older, historic, traditional. And these two gentlemen own the team together. I'm not sure what the makeup is, the percentage of makeup. But I'll tell you what, I do know this. Tisch wanted Tom Coughlin gone. And he got his way. Tom Coughlin had one more year left on his deal. Wanted to stay. I know the reports were that Tom Coughlin decided that it was his time to go. No, no, no. Tom Coughlin was forced out. And if you were watching that press conference when he walked down from the podium and John Mara stood up to shake his hand and he walked right by John and didn't shake his hand, he was disappointed. You know, maybe he felt that John didn't fight for him enough against Tisch for him to stay. So, but that screams to me that Tish has a little bit more power than Mara, even though Mara is the face of the franchise. Kind of Mara is like the Queen of England, and Tish is Winston Churchill. I'm assuming what the dynamic is based on the outcome of what we've seen the past few years, and who has the final say and stuff. So, if this report from the New York Post is true, and they're claiming two sources. Typically, in our field, you're not supposed to roll with a story unless you have three sources. But this could be a pretty big story. You know, this is not an organization that is knee jerk. And I know there's been a lot of talk and a lot of speculation in regard to Pat Shurmur losing his job after this season. And yes, Dave Gettleman's name has been thrown out there, but not to the extent of Pat Shurmur. And if you do let Pat Shurmur go, do you need to let Gettleman go? Based on what you've seen from Danny Dimes, and I will include myself in this. Boy, we destroyed the Giants for taking Danny Dimes at 6. Destroyed them. And he has been quite impressive this season, especially this last game against the Washington Redskins. Granted, yes, it was against Washington. It wasn't against the Patriots. But nonetheless, as a complete package of a season, Danny has looked good. Not great. He needs to stop turning the ball over. This last week was the first game that he did not have a turnover, whether it be fumble, interception, whatever the case. We'll see what happens this week against the Eagles. So you have to give Gettleman credit for that. But Pat Shurmur, you know, there's been some very questionable coaching decisions, not just on the defensive side of the ball, but on the offensive side of the ball as well. And maybe the conversations based on this article, because, you know, I've been screaming from the mountaintops. Like I said, it's the holidays. I've been filling in a lot. And that's fine. I love to work. I'm not complaining about it. I'm just saying, if you've been listening to my shows that I've been filling in, I've been screaming from the mountaintops that the Giants did a disservice by winning against the Washington Redskins. Because I do believe that Chase Young is a generational talent. And they were locked in as the number two pick. And they had Chase Young falling right into their laps. And they beat the Washington Redskins for what? For what? So Danny Dimes feels good about his exit this season? So he gets one more game under his belt? That is more important than a generational talent in Chase Young, who some analysts and some scouts feel that even if they were in the need of for a quarterback, they would draft before Joe Burrow because he is a Khalil Mack type of presence on the defensive side of the football field. And now the Giants are sitting at 4. If they do beat the Philadelphia Eagles and play spoiler, they will now drop to 5. Is that worth it? So that's been my take. But if the motivational factor here is that John Mara has communicated, or somebody has communicated to Pat Shurmur, if you end the season strong, and you beat Washington, which they did convincingly, and you play spoiler to the Eagles, maybe, just maybe, your job is safe. Hey, I don't blame Pat Shurmur putting his best foot forward. If that's the case, but the grander scheme of things, it's been a disservice to this franchise and this organization as a whole.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
We'll find out next year. But I think we made a lot of progress in a lot of areas, and it's hard to quantify when you don't match it up with wins. I get that. But, you know, we've, probably played about as many young players as you can play. Not because we're playing young players, but because at this point they're our best players. And so those guys are going to really benefit from the reps they get as, you know, we structure and move forward. You got a rookie quarterback that's made tremendous strides. And so, you know, that's probably a question for next year. But I think as we continue to grow here and build, there's a lot to be said for going out with a win.
That is Pat Shurmur talking to the media this week. He feels pretty confident that he's going to return. Maybe he hasn't read this New York Post article, which, by the way, George Willis wrote. I know George Willis extremely well. He's a fantastic journalist, well respected. So this article has many legs and is pretty spot on, because I do know George. Just note here, Steve Tisch agreed to purchase 50% of the Giants from Mara back in 1991, And also not just the fact that Tish has become somewhat of a laughingstock around his Hollywood buddies and he wants to come in. I just got off the phone with somebody within the organization just to confirm this article. And it's pretty much confirmed that Tish is pretty much going to come in like a bull in a china shop and try to clean house. Another reason why is the source is also indicating that many of the contracts for luxury suites worth $12,000 to $30,000 per Giants game at MetLife Stadium expire at the end of the season, and there are concerns of continued bad product on the field could impact future sales. So, very interesting to see what does transpire. Like I said, I do believe that Tish has a little bit more muscle in decision-making based on what went down with Tom Coughlin. Because Mara wanted Tom Coughlin to stay, Tish did not, and Tish got his way and brought in Ben McAdoo and kept Jerry Reese around. By the way, this is Around the League, driven by Ford, Lincoln to Queens. Like I said, let's get to your calls, 800-919-3776. Let's go to Eddie in Rockland. Eddie, you're up.
Hey, Anita, how you doing?
Good morning.
I used to be a Giant season ticket holder for a while. And, you know, when they don't have a connection to back to Parcells and a football guy in charge, this is like a rudderless ship. You know, I wish they'd take someone like a Phil Sims and make him president or something like that, someone who cares about the Giants and sees. But you could see what's going on. Now there's division between the owners and who's going to keep it. And you know what it really all comes down to? Money, because if Gettleman and Shermer were in their last year of their contract, you know they'd both be gone. Okay, it comes down to money. Shermer has no clue of what's going on. His play calling is horrendous. I don't want to hear about the pick of Danny Dimes. No one talked about Danny in any of the scouts. Nobody had him in the first round. So it was about the scouts not picking him.
Well, Eddie, I will say this. There were a few teams that did have Danny in the first round, and in fact, I've said this earlier. If you know anything about me, you know that I love the draft and I love the combine. It's my favorite week of the year. I go to Indianapolis, I hang out in Indianapolis, and I just pick the brain of so many scouts and executives, and I just find the draft to be so so interesting and so fun, and I love to try to predict who's going to go where, and of course I gamble on who's going to go where. So I've started to make some phone calls specifically just about Joe Burrow and Chase Young, okay? And a number of scouts that I've spoken to, and it's not just one, it's not just two, it's quite a few have asked me, what's the deal with Pat Shurmur and Dave Gettleman? Usually I'm the one who's asking scouts the questions, not vice versa. And I said, well, I do believe that Gettleman will be here. I think there's a good chance that Pat Shurmur is gone. And I've had a number of scouts tell me that they are hearing rumblings that Bill Belichick wants to come back to the Giants. This is home for him. He loves this franchise. He loves this organization. And he loves Daniel Jones. That Daniel Jones was very high up on his draft board and that he actually was making some calls to try to trade up in the first round to get Daniel Jones. And it's evident that as great of a quarterback that Tom Brady is, there's some speculation that he might leave New England. His career is coming to a close. If you don't believe that he's Benjamin Button, I do believe that he's Benjamin Button. I think he's getting younger and not older. But realistically, what? Optimistic? 3 years left for Tom Brady? Definitely. He said he definitely wants to play next year. But in saying that, Bill Belichick, who I think is addicted to coaching and has had immense success and has ties here in New York and loves the Giants organization and apparently, from what I understand, loves Daniel Jones, would love nothing more than to maybe come to New York and take over the head coaching and the executive decision-making process that he does have that control in New England and start fresh with a new era with Daniel Jones. This is what is out there in the scouting arena that has been brought to my attention, and I was asked about Pat Shurmur and Gettleman. Now, I don't have any sources. I'm not telling you that this is what's going to happen. I did have Mike Reese, who does a phenomenal job covering the Patriots, on my show 2 weeks ago, and I asked Mike, what's the details on Bill Belichick's contract? And Mike Reese told me that it is the most sealed document, worse than Fort Knox, to try to understand or try to get information on Bill Belichick's contract with the Patriots. Mike Reese told me nobody knows. So does that mean that Bill Belichick might be available in 2020 to leave the Patriots and come to New York? Maybe. Is this so far-fetched? Possibly. It's something that continues to develop and continues to be a topic of conversation in the scouting circles that I relate with. And I just thought I would share that with you.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com. It's time for a frenzy. A football frenzy. Any team, any player, any question. Call now at 800-919-3776 or tweet at Rothenberg ESPN, hashtag football frenzy, and ask us your NFL questions.
All right, let's do this. Football Frenzy brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of New Rochelle. Anita Marks in for Dave Rothenberg. Nikki and Ty working the show on the opposite side of the glass. Hit us up on Twitter as well as calling in. And you know how it works. Don't wish me happy holidays, happy new year, how am I? Because what's going to happen? Nikki's going to, she's going to drop you. She's nice, but she's not that nice. Who are we starting with? Ty, are you starting with Football Frenzy?
We can start. NFC West showdown tomorrow on Sunday Night Football. So many playoff implications. We've got the Seahawks taking on the 49ers. Mm-hmm. 49ers win, and they're the number one seed. But if they lose, things start getting crazy. They can drop down all the way to 5. Who do you got tomorrow night, Anita?
I got San Francisco, and so does the public. Public money is all over San Francisco. Line opened up at 3. It's now at 3.5. I think the loss of Chris Carson is big. Listen, I love Marshawn Lynch. Who doesn't love a dude who, chows down on Skittles on the sideline? And I love his running style. It's so aggressive. It's so violent. So fun to watch. This is a dude who was doing shots. He was like all about adult beverage a week ago outside of a stadium taking in a football game, Ty. I mean, is he really in football shape? You know, I was listening to Ryan Clark, who I absolutely love. And he said the great thing about Marshawn Lynch is the mentality, the vibe, the feel, the aggressiveness, the style of football that he's going to bring to the table for the Seattle Seahawks. I just don't know how much he's going to help in their running game. And I feel that the San Francisco 49ers are peaking at the right time. The Seattle Seahawks, not so much. Had a tough game again against the Arizona Cardinals. I'm all about San Francisco. I think San Francisco wins, and I think San Francisco gets the number one seed in the NFC in the postseason. Nikki, you want to go with you?
Will Drew Brees ever get another Super Bowl win?
Ooh. You know what? I have the Saints coming out of the NFC. I think it's going to be a Baltimore Ravens Saints Super Bowl, but I don't know if anybody could stop Lamar Jackson in this Baltimore Ravens offense. A little birdie told me, get this, as phenomenal as their offense has been this season, And just let me preface by saying I spent 4 years in Baltimore. I covered this team for 4 years. I know Steve Bisciotti extremely well. I know this organization extremely well. I have somebody on the inside who told me they have a playbook that they haven't even tapped into for the postseason. Marinate in that for a minute.
Oh, that's
marinate
good.
In that there are plays. There is an entire postseason playbook that we haven't even witnessed. We haven't even seen this season. That this is going to take an entire offseason for defensive coordinators to digest how to even try to stop this offense defensively. Let alone, I don't know, a team in the NFL that has the horses in their stable athletically to counter this offense. And they're coming to the postseason with a whole, like an extended playbook? That's frightening. So I hope Drew Brees does win another Super Bowl. He's such a phenomenal guy and such a phenomenal talent and such great work ethic. I just don't think it's this year. I think it's the Baltimore Ravens. I think the Baltimore Ravens win their third Super Bowl this year. All right, let's go to your phone lines, 800-919-3776. Chris in Long Island, go.
Hey, so I heard your interview on Thursday with Gase. You did great, but it seemed like it's pulling teeth. Have you ever heard inside information from players who really vouch for him? Is there something as fans we're missing? Only positive stuff I heard was from that fake Twitter account, but have you ever heard insider information like he's a great locker room motivator? Yeah, that's something special, because I just don't see it.
Yeah, Chris, that was kind of brutal, right? That interview was kind of brutal. Ty, you weren't here. So Adam Gase was on the Michael Kay show, and I was filling in for the Michael Kay show, so it was my first time interviewing Adam Gase. And I thought that I would start it off nice and easy and fun. And I was asking Adam Gase about his Christmas. How is Christmas? How's Christmas in the Adam Gase household? What's your favorite Christmas gift ever? And then I transitioned to football, and he got a little bit better, but I asked him if he had a New Year's resolution. He said, no, he doesn't do New Year's. It was just, he wasn't very warm. I call it warm and fuzzies, right? There was no warm and fuzzies with him. I will say this. We're going to have Cynthia Freeland on the show at 10:30. And Cynthia Freeland is quite tight with Adam Gase. That's a question that I will reserve for Cynthia Freeland. I have never heard anything negative about Adam Gase in regard to a player. But yes, my first experience with Adam Gase was there was no warm and fuzzies. So I'll leave it at that. Let's go to Dave in Edison. Dave, you're up. Go.
Yeah. Hi. Do you think, the next Cowboys coach could win with Dak Prescott?
Ooh, that's a good question. You know, here's the thing with Dak Prescott when it comes to, you know, should Dak Prescott get paid? You know, I don't believe that Dak Prescott would have the success that he has had in the NFL if he didn't have both Ezekiel Elliott and Amari Cooper. I mean, let's face it. Dak Prescott's numbers are not what they are when Ezekiel Elliott is not rushing for 100 yards a game. And the Dallas Cowboys don't win football games until they sign Amari Cooper. So, you know, do I feel that Dak Prescott should get paid like, you know, the highest paid quarterback in the NFL? No, I don't. Is he deserving of a very lucrative contract? Yes. Do I feel that he's the best quarterback in the NFL? No. Do I feel that he could put a team on his shoulder pads and win it? I don't know. He doesn't play well in cold weather either, by the way. Listen, there have been quarterbacks that have not been as good as Dak Prescott that have won Super Bowls. Trent Dilfer, for one, with all due respect, I love Trent Dilfer. But can't hold a candle to Dak Prescott as a quarterback, but he won a Super Bowl. So, you know, could a team win a Super Bowl without a top five, top 10 quarterback? Yeah, I think it could happen, but they need a number of other pieces in place like the Dallas Cowboys do, with a number one wide receiver, arguably one of the best running backs in the NFL, and a top five defense. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Gerard in Brooklyn. Gerard, you're up. Go.
Will Eli Manning play for another team?
Ooh, Gerard, that's a good one. You know, Ian O'Connor has an excellent article out this week. If you haven't had a chance to read it, I highly recommend you do so today. It's all about Eli Manning, which, by the way, I don't think enough is being discussed. Like, tomorrow is Eli Manning's last game as a Giant. Can we just marinate in that for a minute? This is a dude who won this town, this city, Giants fans, not one, but two Super Bowls. And oh, by the way, was the MVP of both Super Bowls. And he's not being offered the opportunity to start tomorrow against the Eagles, which is beyond me. I just don't get that. And not enough is being discussed about it, but in the quote unquote Eli Manning camps, I'm hearing that he's not even sure. You know, he's not even sure. Now, I don't think Eli Manning goes to a team as a backup. I think he's got some reservations about leaving this area, but obviously if he wants to be a starting quarterback somewhere, he's going to have to leave this area. Ian O'Connor was on with me, and he said that he's hearing some rumblings that there's a possibility that the Colts are not set on Jacoby Brissett, and the Colts could very well call for the services of another Manning. Of course, we know all the success that Peyton Manning had in Indianapolis, and bring in Eli Manning. And the Colts team, great offensive line, a lot of depth at the running back position with Marlon Mack and beyond, great wide receiving core, a lot of depth and a lot of talent, two excellent tight ends in Ebron and Doyle. So could Eli Manning have success? Could he do better than Jacoby Brissett did with the Colts this season? I think so, absolutely. Could that be a landing place for Manning? Why not? Peyton Manning owns Indianapolis. Why not his baby brother Eli come in for round two? So I right now I don't know, and my sources are telling me that Eli Manning doesn't know. He has not apparently he has not made a decision yet. If you want to believe that, let's go to Dakota in Montclair. Dakota, welcome.
Hi. Who will be the sixth seed in the AFC playoffs?
Ooh, I think it's going to be the Tennessee Titans, and here's why. The NFL did no favors to the Pittsburgh Steelers, and Pittsburgh Steeler fans, if I were you, I would be outraged. This is why. If Kansas City beats the Los Angeles Chargers, which I believe they will, then the Texans are playing for nothing. I know Bill O'Brien, head coach of the Texans, has come out and said that he's going to play his starters, but is he really going to play his starters all four quarters? If Kansas City wins, the Texans cannot move up to the third seed. They are stuck with the fourth seed, which means I don't believe they're going to play all their starters all four quarters against the Tennessee Titans. Tennessee beats the Texans. They're the sixth seed. So that Kansas City Chiefs Chargers game should have been a 4 o'clock game. Should have moved it to make the Houston Texans put their best foot forward and play a solid, legit game against the Tennessee Titans. But because I think Kansas City's going to win, I don't think the Texans are going to play all four quarters. I think the Titans are going to win that game. In fact, that's my best bet of the day. Tomorrow, Titans -3.5. That line, I want to believe, is up to 5.5 in some places. And I think that the Tennessee Titans get the sixth seed in the AFC. Let's go to Gerard. He's in the car. Gerard, welcome in. Go.
Hey, Anita, how you doing today?
Oh, no. Not allowed to do that. Nikki? Ty, do you have any more?
That's really sad.
What?
What just happened to him? But it's funny, like, you hear the rules.
Those are the rules. No, those are the rules. I said Nikki's nice. She's just not that nice.
No, I'm not criticizing you. I'm saying you hear the rules prior to the segment. You call in, you wait on hold for 10 minutes, and then you have that happen. That's very unfortunate.
I let a couple of the hi, hey, before, you know, to let it go, but no hey, how you doing?
Listen, these are Dave Rothenberg's rules.
Yes.
These are Dave, and so we're playing his game.
we're trying to do him proud.
We're playing his game. We got to play by his rules.
All right, so my question is about the AFC, actually. Which quarterback do you trust most in the postseason to get to the Super Bowl? Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson.
Ooh.
If you can rank them in order.
Ooh. Okay, trust Patrick Mahomes. Trust Patrick Mahomes. But
now before you continue, factor in what their route to the Super Bowl would be. Like, only Lamar Jackson would play a home game against the New England Patriots. The other quarterbacks have to go to Foxborough in order
I understand that, but I think mobile athletic quarterbacks have owned the Patriots this season. And the way Kansas City's defense is playing, I want to say the last four games, they've only given up a total combined 31 points. Kansas City's defense is peaking at the right time. New England, they don't know what to do with Patrick Mahomes and this Andy Reid offense, let alone they don't know what to do with Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens.
So you'd go Mahomes, then how would you rank Jackson and Watson?
So you use the word trust, like trust Patrick Mahomes. But at the end of the day, I think it's going to be a Kansas City Ravens AFC championship, which to me, I'll pay 10 times more money to see that as a Super Bowl than anything the NFC is going to bring to the table. But I think Baltimore and their offense and their scheme is too much for anyone. It's too much for anyone. So, but trust Mahomes. Win Lamar Jackson, the Baltimore Ravens, because of their scheme.
Don't sleep on the NFC. They've got some tough cookies out there. Green Bay, I know people watch them and say their record isn't exactly indicative of how good the team is, but you give me Aaron Rodgers with the first round bye. He's got, you know, two games to get to the Super Bowl. I like my chances.
So you think Green Bay is going to win the Super Bowl?
I think they're going to win the Super Bowl.
Really?
Yeah, that defense is the best we've seen them have since they won in 2010. Aaron Rodgers, I know, isn't having a great season by his standards, but like I said, you give me him in the playoffs, and I'll take my chances.
By the way, I will say this. It's not that Aaron Rodgers isn't having a great season. He actually is having a great season. If you look at his percentage, his completion percentage, it's that he's in a new offense with Matt LaFleur, and he's not a gunslinger anymore.
But you watch him. He's missing some throws that he usually makes, and their offense stalls a lot. They'll get off to a fast start, but in the second half, they'll go, you know, four or five drives without putting points on the board. And you're not used to seeing that from an Aaron Rodgers-led offense.
How about this, Ty? You could wager on BetMGM that the Green Bay Packers are going to win the Super Bowl at plus 900.
Oh,
which
wow.
Which means you lay $100 down.
To win 900.
If your boy, Aaron Rodgers, and the Green Bay Packers win, you just won $900.
So I don't have any of these accounts set up. Is there a way for me to funnel this through you? Like, could you put this down? Like, if I send you $100, could you put this down for me?
Absolutely.
Oh, let's do it after
this. But you'll have to wait until I get home into Jersey, because New York is 2000 and late, and you can't gamble in New York City. Get this done, commissioners.
So let's talk about this after the show. I'm excited. Plus 900?
Plus 900, boo.
There we go.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com. He's pompous.
Listen, shut up and I'll tell you the story.
He's arrogant.
Do you think there's a lot of things out there that I wouldn't be good at?
And sometimes he's downright mean.
I know you know what that's like, to be that uncomfortable, pimply face, not very popular kid.
But now it's your chance to prove him wrong.
It's dumb.
Call 800-919-3776 with your question and let's stump Dave Rothenberg.
It's one of my favorite reasons for filling in for Rothenberg's show. Stump Rothenberg is brought to you by the law offices of Andrew M. Cohen. Because I am not as wise and I didn't go to an Ivy League school like the wonderful and fabulous Cynthia Freeland, I need a lifeline, and she is it. Cynthia, you ready?
Oh, my goodness. It's going to be the first person who calls it wins this. So good. Congratulations.
So the first person who stumps us for question marks wins a basket, a bucket, a platter of Seabow Meat products. If you don't see the Seabow Meat product logo from the start, don't put it in your shopping cart. All right. So here we go. We're going to kick it off with Pete in Jersey. Pete, what is your question?
Who is the youngest? Who's the highest drafted Division III player in the NFL?
Who is the highest drafted Division III player in the NFL? Will you give us a position? Will you give us a hint, Pete?
Yeah. Give us a position.
What? He's gone. What happened?
Well, it looks like we win that one.
What is that about? Let's go to Sal. Sal, you're up.
Yes, thank you. I'm starving over here. I hope you guys missed it. In the 1975 World Series.
In the what?
1975 World Series.
Okay.
When Chris Chambliss hit the home run. Not the World Series. I'm sorry. The playoff game. I'm confusing myself.
Okay.
In 1975, when Chris Chambliss hit the home run in the playoff game against Kansas City. Who was on deck?
Congratulations, you have the meat.
Sal, we're going to put you on hold. The meat is your. The meat is yours.
No idea.
I mean, like, right? Yeah. Okay. These two chicks are going to answer that question, Sal. You won. Let's go to Chris.
No, congratulations. I wasn't even thought about at that point. My parents weren't even married at that point.
Let's go to Chris and Bethpage. Chris, you're up.
Chris, yeah, I was your lifeline the other day, and I won the Seabow meat, so I don't need the meat anymore.
Well, Sal won it with the 1975 bogus question. Anyway, go ahead.
All right. Who was the last Heisman Trophy winner to win a Super Bowl MVP?
Ooh.
That's a good one. That's one I feel like I should know.
Who was the last Heisman Trophy winner to win an MVP?
I'll give you a big hint. I'll give you a big hint. He wasn't a quarterback.
Emmitt Smith? Cynthia?
No.
Charles Woodson?
He didn't win the Heisman.
Charles Woodson?
He didn't win a Super Bowl.
He won the Heisman, but he didn't win a Super Bowl MVP.
Give us a year.
The year was that he won the Heisman or the Super Bowl MVP?
Heisman.
Was it Desmond Howard?
I think it was 91.
Was it Desmond Howard?
There you go. Desmond Howard.
Woo! Ding, 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 ding. It only took us 10 tries. Cynthia, that's impressive. That's impressive. Let's go to John in Queens. John, you're up.
Hey, how you doing, Anita? So I know you like dogs and music, so this question combines the two.
Okay.
What breed of dog is on Beck's album Odelay's cover?
Oh.
Wow.
I don't. Do you follow Beck?
I'm kind of a fan, but I know that particular.
No,
album,
John, man. I'm asking my lifeline, John. I'm asking my lifeline. Hold on, dude.
Okay.
Do you? So I went to
one song.
I went to a taping of Saturday Night Live, and he was the musical guest. That's all I know about Beck. You know what? I want to throw out like Bulldog, French Bulldog. Somehow, some way, like that's what's coming to mind. What do you think, Cynthia?
It's definitely not something normal. It's definitely not a normal dog. I can see it. I just don't know what it is.
Okay,
It's not a normal dog. It's not a normal dog.
John?
Okay, it's a big white dog with dreadlocked fur.
Right, so it's not a normal dog.
Oh, so it's one of those like Afghan?
Yeah.
Something or other?
No.
Okay, John, what is it?
Can we call your guy in Hoboken at the pet shop?
I know. Can we call Mike at Hoboken Pet for help here?
We need Mike at Hoboken Pet, please.
Anyway. John,
okay,
go.
It's a Commodore, also known as the Hungarian sheepdog.
A Hungarian sheepdog?
Yeah, it looks like a big mop, basically.
Yeah.
John, thank you. Thank you for that question.
Would Rothenberg have known that?
Yeah. Cynthia, it's unbelievable. Right? I mean, Nikki and Ty are producing the show. You guys have done Stump Rothenberg before. Aren't you, isn't it jaw-dropping?
Yeah, there's a wealth of knowledge there.
And it's, like, not just sports. It's any topic. He just, watching
amazing.
His mind break through these different things is so weird.
Here's the thing, Cynthia. I swear, he's got the mind of an elephant. You know, elephants, they remember the birth canal, right? Nikki, Ty, do you guys have a question for us or no? If you don't, it's okay.
All right, I do have a question.
Okay, go ahead.
So Kawhi Leonard yesterday was named the Associated Press Male Athlete of the Year.
He
becomes the fifth NBA player to win the award.
Right.
Can you name the other four NBA players who in the past have won this award?
Okay,
let's go with the layup. Definitely do LeBron James.
That is correct.
Kobe Bryant.
Okay.
Kobe Bryant is not correct.
No?
No.
Wow.
They must be in New York, not L.A.
Magic Johnson.
Magic Johnson has never won this award.
Is Jordan on it?
Absolutely. Jordan is on this list.
So Jordan.
Larry Bird?
LeBron.
Larry Bird is correct.
Look at you.
One more.
Jeez.
Julius Erving.
No, this one has happened recently.
Recently?
Steph Curry.
Steph Curry is correct.
Woo! High five, we did it!
So Kawhi Leonard.
With only 15 tries.
Kawhi Leonard, Larry Bird, Michael Jordan, LeBron James, and Steph Curry.
Great question, Ty.
Okay.
And then we got to give all the credit to Cynthia Freeland because she pretty much did all the legwork.
That's why I asked her to be on as my lifeline. I know what time it is. I know what my strengths and weaknesses
are. I said Michael Jordan, like that's not.
Look, I always, whenever I do this segment, I always say, listen, I'm more athletic than Dave. He's smarter than me. It's okay. I don't lose sleep at night knowing that. Nikki, do you have a question before we sign off?
I do. So Henrik Lundqvist has been the
really
goalie.
you're coming at me with a hockey question,
but it's gonna be it's not as difficult as you might think.
Okay,
all right. He's been the goalie for the Rangers all decade.
Right.
He started the decade and ended the decade playing against the same team. What was the team?
Ooh, Cynthia.
I mean, okay. Well, I like the Red Wings, so let's go with them.
Correct answer is Carolina. They played the Hurricanes last night.
Hurricanes. I should have known that because I was listening to, I followed Don LaGreca in the postgame show. So.
Oh.
Da-da.
By the way, I've been thinking about this question and I haven't done any Googling on it or anything, but I wonder if it's Matthew Judon, who's the highest drafted, who plays defense for the Ravens. assume he went to a D3 school. I'm pretty sure. I don't know where he was drafted, though. So I got to look that up. That was going to bother me because no draft.
That's what Google's for. Cynthia, you rock. Thank you so much for being my lifeline. I adore you.
You know, I wasn't very good at it, but I
No, I think you were great. I think we did okay. I really do appreciate it.
We made it fun, that's for sure.
Enjoy week 17 and have a phenomenal New Year's. Wishing you only but wonderful things in 2020, my friend.
You too. I'll see you soon, I hope.
You got it. Absolutely. Absolutely.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.